Thank you. Good morning. Oh, morning, everybody. Great to see you all here. It's lovely when we get such a good turnout, isn't it? First of all, celebrating the World Day of Prayer that took place. It was a great success, and people from every church in Poynton were represented. There were prayers for peace and a very, very good charity collection, £418. That's amazing. Mandy's asked me to show you the booklets from there if anybody would like to take one. Our thoughts are with Barbara Whittaker's family this week. Her funeral is here at 11 a.m. on Thursday, and I'm sure we all send our love to her family. Marion Dowling is in Stepping Hill Hospital. Sadly, she had a fall outside of church. She's possibly coming home tomorrow, we hope so, and we send her our love. And cake, we have cake today to celebrate Joy's 92nd birthday on Wednesday. What an achievement.
And it's good morning from me as well. Very warm welcome to everybody to worship with us this morning. We come to worship, first of all, in song. And as we come here, Jesus comes to us. Lord Jesus Christ, you have come to us. You are one with us, Mary's son.
Jesus Christ, you have come to us, you are one with us, Mary's son, cleansing your souls from all their sins, pouring your love and goodness in. Jesus, our love for you we sing, Jesus Christ, now and every day, teach us how to pray, Son of God. You have commanded us to do this in remembrance, Lord, of you. Into our lives your taste breaks through, Jesus Christ, you have come to us, born as one of us, Mary's son, led out to die on Calvary, risen from death to set us free. Living Lord Jesus, help us see you. Jesus Christ, we would come to you, lift our eyes for you, Son of God. All your commands we know are true, your many gifts will make us new. Into our lives your power breaks through.
I chose that hymn for the first line, really, or the second line, Mary's son. We come here on Mother's Day to remember that Jesus, our Saviour, also had a mother, such a key person in his life, such a formative character for his life. And we give thanks to all mothers. And I hope if you pay careful attention at some points and just recognise the blindingly obvious at others, that theme is going to run through our service. Let's come together and offer our prayers. First of all, let's just think of where we're coming from this morning. There was a great buzz in church when I came here. It was obvious that people were pleased to meet each other, pleased to swap news, pleased to offload. Some people will have come feeling in a state of turmoil and unsettled. Others will feel happier and more contented. We just pause to think of the place we're coming from this morning. Let's acknowledge how we feel. And having thought about where we're coming from, let's turn our face to where we're coming to. Let's focus on our living Lord. Let's acknowledge our loving Father. And let's make space to welcome in God's Holy Spirit as we come to worship this morning. Let's give thanks. We live in a wonderful world. We are in a privileged part of that world. We have so many things that make our lives wonderful. Just pause for a moment and think of something that's made your life wonderful this week. And give thanks. It's a wonderful world. And it's right to give thanks for the wonders we encounter. Amen. Our theme this morning is going to looking at issues of justice, and particularly the work of Christian Aid. I went to a Christian Aid conference last Saturday. It was an event in St. James's Piccadilly, St. James's, I don't know where it was, somewhere in London. St. James's London, shall we call it. but it was broadcast across the country, and I think there were 22 different Christian Aid groups sitting watching it as a group. So I was with a group of about 20 people in Warrington. And its purpose was to help us to start thinking about how we're going to prepare for Christian Aid Week, which is in May later this year. And I thought, I came away from it thinking, wouldn't it be good to try and energise things for Christian Aid Week? But there's a certain amount of thinking to do, so I thought, maybe a good thing to think in our cafe worship about how we could mark Christian Aid Week this year. So that's our task for this morning. We are going to start off with a Bible reading which reminds us that a passion for social justice is absolutely core to our gospel. A reading from Isaiah. Yeah, wherever you want. It's closer.
This morning's reading is from Isaiah chapter 58, and it is headed True Fasting, starting at verse 6. The kind of fasting I want is this: remove the chains of oppression and the yoke of injustice, and let the oppressed go free. Share your food with the hungry, and open your homes to the homeless poor. Give clothes to those who have nothing to wear, and do not refuse to help your own relatives. Then my favor will shine on you like the morning sun, and your wounds will be quickly healed. I will always be with you to save you. My presence will protect you on every side. When you pray, I will answer you. When you call to me, I will respond. If you put an end to oppression, to every gesture of contempt, and to every evil word, if you give food to the hungry and satisfy those who are in need, then the darkness around you will turn to the brightness of noon. Amen.
Thank you. We often dismiss the language of the Good News Bible as if it's a bit simplistic and trite, but didn't that speak? The straightforward language that that passage was expressed in. I'd read it in the New Revised Standard Version when I was preparing for the service, and that hit me just listening to it from a slightly different translation. So just so you can mark it in your diaries, Christian Aid Week this week is from the 12th to the 18th of May, so please just make a note of that. One of the things I think that's particularly important about Christian Aid Week is that we root what we're doing in two things. The first thing we root what we're doing in is our faith. And we've had that reading from Isaiah that reminds us that caring for God's people wherever they are is a deep part of our faith. And the other place we root our approach is an understanding of the how the world is. And every year, Christian Aid get together a little video to tell us a little bit about where they're acting. Oops, how do we do this one? So, this year the focus is going to be on Burundi. Now, I must admit, when I heard about Burundi, I knew it was in Africa, but I wasn't a great deal sure where it is. So I thought I'd start off with a map. This is Burundi. It's just south of Rwanda. Sandwiched in between Uganda, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Tanzania. So that's where it is locally. I don't know if you've picked up, but over the last few years, Christian Aid have focused their work on the 27 poorest countries in the world. So by definition, Burundi is one of the 27 poorest countries in the world. This is the Christian Aid team in Burundi. They're all local people who come from the community but are wanting to work to improve that community. And they've got three key themes. As almost all Christian Aid's work anywhere now, the primary target is working out how to cope with climate change and build resilient communities to what's happening as a consequence of the carbon emissions from wealthy countries. There's also a very important dimension in the work in Burundi on gender justice. Women have a very low role in society, and there's a lot of work in trying to empower them. And then there's peace building and conflict resolutions. I don't fully understand the politics of Burundi. Anybody understand the politics of Burundi? Good. I could spout on about it then, couldn't I? Nobody could. It has had a very difficult time. It's struggled since independence. It's had a series of elections that have been indecisive, or have put what appears to be the wrong party in power. It's had a little bit of stability for the last 3 or 4 years, but there's a legacy of division within the society that Christian Aid is trying to build bridges and resolve conflicts within that society. So those are the three strands of its work. Oops, gone the wrong way. The issues. It's got a very high population density. It's a very small country, and it's got a lot of people living there, and there isn't much land to go around. It's got as with a lot of poor countries, it's got a very high birth rate. If there's a strong chance of your child dying, you have lots of children in order that they can survive, some of them to look after you in your old age. It's a strong link between poverty and population growth. And a lot of people came across at the meeting the other day, said the biggest issue is population growth. Well, actually, no, the bigger issue is poverty. Because if we solve poverty, and particularly if we educate women, that's how you get population growth down. There's an over-reliance on agriculture. There's very little industry. So basically everything that Burundians eat is grown pretty much themselves. So 90% of the population is depending on agriculture. And this isn't big agricultural business. This is subsistence farming to get you through from one year to the next with enough food for you and your family. It's ranked the second poorest country in the world, and over 75% of the population are classified as living in poverty. It's got a high youth population. Over 41% are under 15 years old. Okay? That's stunning, isn't it? And that's partly the legacy of AIDS across South Africa, wiping out a generation of older people. But we've got a very young population. So those are the sorts of issues that are facing people in Burundi. And this is the little video that's prepared each year to focus on a particular individual. And this individual is called Aline. Can I just stop that? Have we got sound? There's subtitles for everything, so.
Do the mic and I'll put
people the are pushed to the brink of survival. My name is Nibogora Aline. I am 35 years old. My favorite people in the whole world are my three sons. I enjoy a lot being with my family. We like traditions and we have a fixed time for praying. It is an opportunity to talk to God because we are still alive thanks to God's grace. We have gone through hardships because I was very poor as I was stuck inside a box. Through the support of Christian Aid and its partners, Aline and her neighbors were trained to form a village savings and loan association. They each pay in a small amount to build up a group fund and can loan to fund income-generating activities. We have three savings groups in this community now. We work together to save and make loans. This has had a great impact on my life. I realized that women can achieve great things. I raise my children alone. I bring them up well. Nobody is going hungry. I managed to buy goats, which helped me a lot, and I bought a bicycle.
Carrying goods to our home was difficult before getting a bicycle. We would carry 10 kilograms on our heads. But with a bicycle, be it 100 kilograms or 200 kilograms, you just tie it on and ride quickly. We use it for firewood and crops from the farm.
I have a solar panel. I can turn on the lights so that my children can do their homework. And I am building my own home. After finishing my house, I will continue to save with the association because I really wish for my children to study in the university. They are my hope for the future. With your help, we can work towards a world where families can push back against the inhumanity of poverty and fulfill their ambitions. From community events to individual challenges, Christian Aid Week is 7 days of action, your way to fund lasting change. Together, we will beat extreme poverty.
Sorry we didn't do a sound check before we started. Where are we going? So Christian Aid Week is our chance to respond to that. Last year, Christian Aid raised £5 million towards doing this sort of work in Christian Aid Week. The money that comes in Christian Aid Week is extremely important because it doesn't have any strings attached. Christian Aid can do exactly what they want. They actually get quite a significant amount more money from governments and international agencies and things like that, but that is contract work where they've got to do things. The money they get at Christian Aid Week allows them to do new things, to try things out, see what works and what doesn't, and it's that money that seed funds bigger projects. And that money is gathered from churches like us all across Britain. There are tens of thousands of churches across Britain collect for Christian Aid during Christian Aid Week. And last year we raised £2,119 from the congregation and from doing the house-to-house letter drop, which is great. But in 2013, which was the second year I was treasurer for the church collection, Christian Aid raised £12.5 million. So it got less than half the amount of money that it used to have from Christian Aid collections. And Pointed Methodists that year raised £3,200 out of a total of £8,200 for Poynton. Since that time, and basically those figures stayed pretty much stationary until COVID hit. COVID hit, and that year our income went down to about £500 because we weren't able to have a collection at all. And we found that after that, three other churches that had been our partners decided not to be so energetic in their collecting. And also we found that it would appear people are being a little bit less generous when they're responding to the house-to-house collection. Perhaps it's a little bit due to different ways of the house-to-house collection, the dropping off-only scheme. So I just want to have a bit of time today to just have a discussion about how we respond to that. We might feel, and we do feel, that £2,100 is a fantastic amount of money. £5 million is a fantastic amount of money. So whatever happens today, I don't want us to say, let's do less. I want us to celebrate what we're doing. But I do want to have a pause and think, is there anything we could do more? Oops. Okay. I would remind you that in 2018 to 2019, we took a decision to build a house for Haiti. We raised the £7,500 for the first house in about 6 months. About 3 months. And then we decided we could do more, so we actually built a second house. We raised £15,000 in that year. And I would suggest that it's one of the things that has characterised the congregation over the last 10 years, isn't it? We remember that time. We remember the fellowship from coming together each month to have a shared meal. A lot of the things that the revival group, I think, are talking about were part of that package. Okay? So not only did we raise £15,000, but I think there was a life and vitality about the congregation in that 6 months that really stood out. So it's not just about raising money, it's about building community here as well as overseas. So the question I want us to ask today is what we're doing the best way of supporting Christian Aid during Christian Aid Week? The answer might well be yes. Okay? So if at the end of today we say what we're doing is our contribution to Christian Aid Week, and we've looked at the issues and looked at the options and come back with that hour, I'm going to be completely happy. Okay? But I do think it'd be useful just to have a think about what the alternatives might be. Because when I went to the conference last week, it just blows your mind a little bit about what other churches are doing and what imagination and vitality there is. So, I forget, Woking, United Reformed Church, read the Bible non-stop for 82 hours. I raised £11,000 in the process, okay? I'm not saying we should do it, I'm just throwing it into the ether. I forget where this church was, but somebody had got a multicultural community and decided to bring those cultures together to share their food and raised £330, okay? Andy was 95 that year, and he had his own little special house-to-house collection. Went out to houses in his neighbourhood and raised money from those to celebrate his 95th birthday. Arthur, at the other end of the age spectrum, was a 10-year-old who got his family together and had an afternoon tea party. I don't know what sort of friends he's got, but raised £800 from an afternoon tea party. Forget where this church was, but their thing, there was a group of ladies who set out to grow plants and sell those plants. So they raised £1,000 with a strawberry tea sale and a plant sale in one morning. So there's lots of different ways you can raise money. Okay, so I'm going to give you, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a little sheet here, and I'm just going to ask you to, don't think too hard, just write down a list of ways that people can raise money for organisations, okay? I'm not going to give you very long, about 3 minutes, just to list a brainstorm, okay? And then we'll think about what we do with that list, okay? So you've got about 3 minutes to just come up with a list of the ways we could raise money. Here we go. You can have one. There's yours. There you go. Any ideas what the problem with the sound was?
No. No, I'm in.
It was pretty loud on this. You know, the background hiss, you could hear it.
Yeah.
It's just not getting a signal into the desk. I know sometimes I've tried both of these, flat out, and that didn't do it either. It's as if it just isn't coming.
Yeah. Well, we just...
Sometimes this is... going in and out, but I've tried it.
Try wiggling it, it doesn't. Yeah. Well, because I did.
We
are. Well, we'll see. Have you all got a growing list? Concentrate on the list at the moment. Try not to talk too much about the ideas. The next bit is to talk about the ideas. So see if you can all get 10 ideas down in the next minute. 10 ideas in there. Well, complete the list of 10. Another 15 seconds to get it up to 10. Okay, let's assume you've all got 10 on your list. Okay? Now, I want you to, you'd notice it's a list that's it's folded over, so I want you to just rip away at the staple and unfold it. Okay? Because what... Oh, that's the list, okay? So the list has got three columns that are hidden. So what I want you to do with those 10 items you've got... What I want you to do with that 10 items you've got is to just fill in the column. Have a think about how much money an event like that might raise. Okay. How much money might a coffee... this is for our congregation. This is for our congregation. Hang around. You've got to complete the instructions. Let me finish what I'm saying. Excuse me? The next column is how much effort is it going to be? Is it a low effort thing, a medium effort thing, or a high effort thing? The final column I've got here is another year. So it might be. So for example, you might think, oh, I could grow some plants, but I needed to start it in November if I wanted to do that. So if you think you've got a really good idea, but there isn't time to organize it, just put something there. And the final column I've forgotten to put in is just put a big smiley face against the ones you're enthusiastic about. Because we want something we're enthusiastic about. And the final thing, I want you to prioritize. Once you've done that, I want to pick out your top three. Which are the top three ideas from the list when you've had that conversation? You're going to have a longer time. You're going to have 10 minutes to discuss this, okay? Or 5 minutes. going to give you 2 more minutes, by which time I want you to got 3 top picks. Okay, let's draw the discussion to a close. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to go around, and I'm actually just going to ask you to volunteer your top pick, but I'm going to add in 2 picks that came out of me listening to the Change conference, the conference last week. Oops. Are we back? Okay, well, I can tell you what they were. So one of them, which apparently quite a lot of places have found works, goes alongside the house-to-house collection, which is to suggest that people might want to come into church for a small event, a coffee morning or something like that, to make their donation.
To bring their envelope.
So we've been very passive about it the last couple of years. You just said post it through the letterbox. So one possibility was the idea of having an event and just saying, why don't you come and join us? And I think that builds into the idea that we've got a mission. Yeah. We're not just doing this on our own. We're thinking about how can we draw people into our community. So one of the ideas I thought was, and let's remember, now that we're doing this, now that there's an advantage with the other 3 churches having dropped off, we can put through that letterbox whatever we want at the same time. We can put a little flyer about how wonderful the place Poynton Methodist Church is and say, why didn't you come along on Saturday morning and have a cup of coffee and find some of the people? So that's a possibility that struck me as something that's relatively easy to do and might be good. The other thing that might be a little bit more difficult is Christian Aid have come up with this idea of 70K in May. And the idea is that as a church community, we effectively do a sponsored move. Some people might hop, some people might push their relators, some people might walk, some people might cycle, but the cumulative total is 70K. And again, the idea that we include people on that. It struck me that actually our Christian Aid collectors probably walk about half of that. Everybody, I think we've got about 40 of them. Yeah, something in that region. So if each of them walks a kilometre, that's half of it. If each of them walked a kilometre with a friend, you would get up to 70 kilometres. And we could go with this theme, and each of us would be inviting a friend into our community. Yeah? It's quite a low ask. Come and do some work for people in Burundi. Come and spend a pleasant morning in May with an hour with me. Have a chat about things. And then, of course, we've got the coffee morning as well. So I just wanted to put those in. So those are 2 good ideas that have come from outside. And now I'm going to ask, go around and see, what was your top pick?
Variations on the plant sale.
Plant sale, okay.
Over a period of time, not a day, as they grow, you bring too much, you donate it
Okay? Yeah, yeah. The one other thing, big issue I want to make clear for this church at this time, whatever we think of, it's got to be something we've got enthusiasm for doing from our resources. We don't want good ideas and then telling somebody else to pick up on them. Okay? So that's just one of the given. Because of a plant sale here, yeah? What did your... Sorry?
Singing marathon.
Singing marathon. Whoa, there's a good one. Okay. Did you?
Strawberry cream tea.
Strawberry cream tea.
With China, we've got loads of cups and saucers.
We've got lots of cups and saucers. Okay. Yeah. I think everybody's got a China tea set somewhere, haven't they? At the back?
Ours is partly organised. We celebrate our golden wedding in April, and the week after it, we're inviting all of you to come for lunch. But there's always a snack when I invite anybody, you know that. So it's free, but please give to Christian.
Mandy's, it's, what is it? What was the celebration?
Golden wedding.
Golden wedding, Hawkyard. Fiftieth wedding anniversary lunch. Okay. Sorry.
£50.
Well, we could auction them, couldn't we, and only let the top 15 come. Yeah. Is this table?
We're all thinking of the same ideas, really, but we thought of a sponsored walk, which you've already got. A sponsored sing.
Sponsored sing. So that would be. Can I just
add
the ticket in there? Interestingly, I don't know if you know, but Cheadle Methodist Church, for the last, I think, 25 years, have organised a sponsored walk through Lyme Park that goes from St George, which is St Martin's, isn't it? Is it St Martin's in Higher Poynton? Yeah, that goes from there one day. And I actually think we could participate in that a little bit more. This table.
Silent auction.
Silent auction. And that would be things people bring in, or?
So what happens, you bring in your...
Can we just have a...
Yep. Bring in your pre-loved items or unloved items, place them around the church, there's a list, people go around and put a bid on the list, gradually that increases hopefully, and then at the end it's announced the highest bid and who's got what.
And cough up.
And cough up.
Yeah, okay. You're trying to sort of sneak two in?
Yeah.
Yeah. Meal safari, yeah. So that is where we organise so that people in groups of six or eight maybe go and have a first course at one place. Either the same group goes around and has a main course somewhere else, or you divide up and end up with a different group of people for the main course, then go and have a dessert somewhere and perhaps come back here for coffee or something like that. So that sort of event, yep. Who done it? Meal, okay. Murder mystery, yeah. Okay. Have you got any at the back? Children's toy sale board game evening. We have the board game evenings, which we could build on. We've been doing some planning about board game evenings. I don't know when if there's going to be one in May. And this group. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be very good. And I think, you know, a cafe like Just Ice, who've got a social justice mission, I think will be an open door we were kicking against to say, come in. So that was that was essentially a social media campaign. Yeah. Yeah. A shrapnel collection. Okay. So we've got lots of ideas. I think we've got lots of enthusiasm. What I'm going to suggest is that if there are a couple of people in the room who would like to help me go through this one evening over the next couple of weeks, we could put some substance on it. We've got to be very careful. We are a church at the moment that's feeling that we've got a lot to do. And we don't want to overburden ourselves. But I would like to suggest that we pick up on at least one of these ideas, okay? But we won't need many people to go forwards on it, but two or three people, and two or three people who aren't doing heaps and heaps and heaps at the moment, okay? Don't stand back because you want the regular people to do it. So, what's the best way? So basically, I would like two or three people to get in contact with me during the week, okay? Either by phone or by email or however, that's the most obvious ways, or even dropping a note with Fiona in the office if you don't know my contact details, okay? So if there were two or three people who would be willing to just try and have a look at some of these ideas, there's lots to go through, there's lots of enthusiasm there, and we'll see if we can pick just one of them to augment what we're doing during Christian Aid Week. Is that okay? Yeah? Okay, good. I look forward to all the communications. Now, unfortunately, we haven't got... can we do that one? You'll just have to listen very carefully, okay? And you'll have to do, well, you can stand up if you wanted, but there are some actions. So actually, that's what we'll do. We'll concentrate on the actions rather than the singing, okay? So this is a video from a Scottish group called Fishy Music, who've been working with Christian Aid to put together some songs for primary schools. So let's just have a quick run through.
Stand up, stand up, stand your ground. Stand up, stand up.
the sound wasn't too much of an issue. Hey, well done, everybody. That's the slides I just was going to show you. So I just want to draw in Mother's Day. We've been talking about the plight of a mother in Burundi. We only got part of her backstory. She was married off in an arranged marriage and had her first son at the age of 14. She was in an abusive relationship with her husband and had five more sons. But then he married another woman. And he wanted the sons, but he didn't want her anymore. So she was cast out. I wandered the streets asking anyone for a place to sleep. Those who showed me kindness would let me stay for 2 or 3 days, but it was difficult. People would insult me and treat me with contempt. They forgot I was a human being. It filled me with sorrow. It's not quite clear how, but somehow she got herself onto a 3-day training course with Christian Aid that trained women in her position to kickstart or re-kickstart their lives, and particularly through a local community microfinance regime, allowed her to get a loan to start growing peanuts and avocados. She got a loan to get the bicycle we saw, because she actually grew so many peanuts and avocados, she got enough for the local community and she needed to sell them elsewhere, so she had a loan. And that loan allowed her to re-establish herself and build a house. Three of her sons were able to escape from their father, and because she had a house, she was able to be reunited with them. And she hopes that she'll be reunited with her other two children. I like to feed my family the produce that I grow, such as beans, vegetables, and corn. I'm so happy that we are together. Now my children feel supported as they have a parent who can meet their needs. That's the mother we all love, isn't it? It's the mother many of us have got. But it's the mother we would all love. And let's give thanks for mothers around the world. As we sing our next song, we're going to have flowers distributed in recognition of the value of motherhood. God of Eve and God of Mary, God of love and Mother Earth.
God of Mary, God of love and Mother Earth, thank you for the ones who with us shared their life and gave us birth. As you came to earth in Jesus, so you come to us today. You are present. Church, our mother, gives us bread and fills our cup, and the comfort of the Spirit warms our hearts and lifts us up. Thank you for belonging, shelter, bonds of friendship, ties of blood, and for those who have no children, yet are parents under God.
Please be seated. Let us pray, and let us use these flowers as a focus for our prayer. Dear God, we thank you for the greenness of our world. We thank you for the flowers that are breaking through from winter and reminding us that the spring is coming. We look at these flowers, most of which are just breaking into bud. We imagine the potential locked within those blooms, just waiting to be released, to bring bright and vibrant colour into our lives. We think across the world of all the women who have something to give, who are waiting to bloom, who want to give love and passion and life to others. We remember women like Aline who have been allowed to bloom and bring life. But particularly today, we remember all those women across the world who struggle to bloom, who are not allowed to flourish, who would desperately love to be the mothers they long to be. For all these people across the world, we give you thanks. And we share in solidarity with them. Amen. Let's sing our final hymn, the Song of Kingdom Come.
The song of kingdom come. Hear the cries, distant neighbors, the dispossessed, the refugee. God's command to feed the hungry and set them free, set them free. Heed the word, the new commandment, and we reclaim. Reborn. This is the song of kingdom come, a reckless love that knows no borders, that speaks the truth to those in power, that shines a light on cruel indifference. This is God's hour, this is God's hour, when we will stand against injustice, with all who labor against the grain, until their poverty is over, and love shall reign, and love shall reign. I have a voice, you have a voice, we have a voice, and when we sing together, a line is drawn and hope reborn. This is the song of kingdom come. We won't stand by while sisters suffer, or turn blind eyes to ruthless wrong. A song of praise will become passion, this kingdom's song, this kingdom's song. The song of love and liberation, of healing hope and lasting peace. A taste of life in all its fullness, God's masterpiece. I have a voice, you have a voice, we have a voice, and when we sing together, the line is drawn, the hope reborn. This is the song of kingdom come.
Go into the world to love and serve the Lord. And as you go, wish each other the grace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. And if anyone can't wait to tell me how enthused they are to work with me, just have a word with me in the coffee lounge afterwards.
Willing to take out
and
any new people.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much for all of you who did take envelopes out last year.
Do you want to come here, Margaret?
Thank you very much for all who did distribute envelopes last year. It was very worthwhile, but I am conscious one or two people said perhaps it wouldn't be for them this year. If you could let me know, but even more importantly, if there's some volunteers who would also take the envelopes out. We can cover quite an area of Poynton between us all. So please let me know if you could sort of distribute, but if some of you were finding it too hard, and therefore we won't be walking the 70K, please let me know. Thank you.